Whew, that was a close one.
It's time for the One More Bucket podcast with collegiate golfer and instructor Blake Doss.
And his old man who likes to tell everybody he taught him everything he knows,
Bobby Doss. It's One More Bucket. Take it away, guys.
What's up, Dad?
Hey, Blake. How are you?
Fantastic as always. Excited to start up this fourth episode of our podcast, episode 4, Everything About Drills. In this podcast, we're talking more about drills this time. Last time we sort of talked about kind of how to practice and what I was doing to practice. And now we're kind of taking a deeper look into that and talking more about the specifics that I do and more about the drills that I did. And hopefully we can teach listeners kind of about drills and about what they'll expect from drills. And then even hopefully give them some drills that they can take into their game in. Even I do plan on releasing a video sometime next week that will even further explain some of these drills that I'm going to talk about in this episode. So how are you doing, Dad? You always ask me. Now I can ask you.
Well, I mean, I'm doing great. I think this is a fantastic episode for fathers and sons out there. I think we always looked for a way to take maybe a lesson or something we saw on TV or maybe a YouTube video and how to incorporate that into your workouts, your sessions, your practice, your coaching sessions. And there's a plethora of drills out there, I think we found certain drills that worked for your style and your approach. And then we found some drills that maybe didn't. And we're just going to kind of, this is the high level 10,000 foot view about drills, how to incorporate the ones that you like to work on. I think we've even talked about this in the previous episodes. There's ways to go out and hate golf, and there's ways to go out and enjoy golf. We're going to talk about some of the fun things, some of the things that felt more like work and maybe were worth it. And I think you came up with a good way to describe this to people. So talk them through how we're going to talk about the drills.
So first, I'm kind of going to talk about like why you do drills, why you do drills in general. And I think one of the main things is it's just a lot of the times you kind of get instant feedback from those drills, and that instant feedback can then just be kind of translated into further work that you have to do in your game.
And give me an example of that, because I think the first one we were ever introduced to that was instant feedback was a putting drill. It's just, you don't have to go through the whole details, but okay. Tell them what do you mean by instant feedback?
So like instant feedback, a perfect example is like you say in a putter drill that I do. And all this putter drill was is you would kind of mark a spot on the green. You'd putt to a hole, mark a spot on the green where you can put your ball every single time. That's a very important part. You need to be able to know where you're putting the ball every single time for this drill. And then all you do is kind of maybe a foot from that mark, you literally just put two tees in the ground that are like about a little bit wider than the width of a golf ball. And then you literally just putt through that gate that you just made for yourself and putt to the hole. And if you push the putt, you'd hit the tee on the right. If you pull the putt, you'd hit the tee on the left. And
so like, really, actually, you're just trying to hit a straight putt through a gate.
Yep.
Whatever the gate might be. And the instant feedback is the ball hitting the gate, telling you something's not working. You're not swinging straight through the path. You're pulling the ball, whatever. So we're going to talk about a few instant feedback drills, not just on the putting green. What else are we talking about?
We're also going to talk about like drills that are sort of just meant to kind of put you into position. And what I mean by that is we just talked about the instant feedback drills. And then there's also other drills where, say, maybe you put like a towel on your arms because you're trying to like feel yourself rotate back and rotate through and keeping your chest and arms in one piece. Or maybe you're putting like a basket of empty balls in between your arms, so then it feels like you're keeping your arms together. All those kind of drills are kind of meant to put you into a certain position rather than giving you feedback. And yeah,
all right, what else? There's one more.
And then the other one, and I feel like this is one of the bigger things that helped me, and it's really, really simple, and that's just doing a ton of rehearsals and a ton of very slow swings. And even you can do this at home, you can do this in your backyard, you can do this literally anywhere. You just need a club, and you can get in a mirror, you can watch yourself take it back and watch yourself get into positions that you need to get into, or you can go in your backyard, just do swings in your backyard, feeling what you need to feel. And then even on the range when you're hitting golf balls, just you can hit a ball and then step back, take five rehearsal swings, kind of exaggerate what you're trying to feel. All that kind of stuff will just like build up further muscle memory into what you're really trying to implement into your game. And yeah, and I think it's just one of the easiest things to do that kind of gives you, it doesn't give you the quickest and bestest progress, but it definitely kind of will hopefully get you those feels down that you're trying to feel while doing drills.
So let's start talking through them. We'll talk about the, let's kind of talk about really the whys of drills. What did you feel like the why do drills? And I don't think this is something that came to you early on. I think this is something we probably bickered about a time or two.
Yeah.
But what did you think about drills early on? And then what did you think about drills later on in your high school career?
I think early on drills definitely did not, well, they didn't seem important to me, because it always felt like when I would do drills, it would honestly just feel like I was taking like steps back. Like I wouldn't hit the ball good because I'd be putting myself in these weird positions, or like I said, there'd be like a putter gate in front of me and I wouldn't be confident putting through the gate. I'd just be like scared I'm going to hit one of the tees, and that would kind of make me like yip at it almost. So early on, I really just felt like drills honestly weren't helping me, and they just kind of set me back, like I was saying, because I wouldn't hit the ball good when I was set up for a drill, or I wouldn't putt to my full confidence if I was set up for a drill. And yeah, I just never felt like they were kind of the thing for me. But as I grew up, as I got like a little bit better, and kind of in my middle to later high school days, I did start enjoy doing drills a lot more, because I sort of kind of, instead of being like upset with how I'm hitting the ball because I'm doing a drill, I kind of trusted the process of the drills rather than like getting discouraged by it. And just by trusting that process and like kind of trusting in my coach at the time and trusting that I was doing the right things, he was telling me the right things, and just remembering that I'm like, this is all going to help in the long run, that kind of helped me build confidence with doing drills. And it definitely made me it made me a better player, and it definitely made me like enjoy doing drills a lot more.
Yeah, I think we'd spent a lot of time early on trying to work on the swing, or perfecting the positions of the swing and making good contact. And it was a big practice game, kind of what we talked about last week. We were going to the range, we were hitting a bucket of balls, but sometimes the work was futile. And I can remember telling you, we're going to go out here and waste an hour hitting this bucket of balls when we have to work on getting this club in the right spot, or getting your positions of the ball in the right spot. And you didn't want to spend the time putting two alignment sticks on the ground so that you could always hit the ball from the same position. You just wanted to hit more balls. And I'd stand there and I'd watch you, and one ball would be in the back of your stance, one ball would be in the front of your stance. You'd be like, I fat one, I thin one. I was like, it's all about ball position. And you were like, no, it's in the same spot. And we were seeing the game from different perspectives. And yeah, I'm sure dads and sons and daughters out there and moms are going to feel this at different times, because as your student athlete or junior golfer gets a little bit better, they're going to start being a little bit more opinionated, but they don't know how much they don't know yet. And I think that's what we could describe kind of as freshman, sophomore year. And then junior year, let's rewind. Freshman, sophomore year, we bought a bunch of different things. Some of them were the expensive tools and gadgets on the internet, but most often they were just things that I thought would help you, whether they were plastic rings or other tools to help putt, whatever. But that we didn't spend a fortune. We had a few handful of tools, but those tools would rarely get used. And if we used them, we'd use them once or twice. And I think one of the bigger keys that I reflect on as I look back on how I helped you or supported you, it was I'm a grown adult who knows what the process looks like. And I wanted you to spend more time on the drill. And I think we probably should have spent less time on the drill or the gadget or the tool. You know, we had a putting apparatus that I'll say we'll probably recommend a lot of people to buy, because it's a very good tempo tool and it costs less than 10 bucks. But that tempo tool, I always wanted you to just start every practice session with 5 or 6 putts with it.
Yeah.
And you would do like 1 or 2 and give up on it and move on. And I really thought if we could just get in a rhythm of doing that every time, it would set you up for kind of getting in the mindset of what your tempo was. And when you didn't start with it and your tempo wasn't good, I would sit back and just watch, well, this is wasting our time because we're not setting ourselves up for success. And I would say to dads out there, maybe be a little bit more prescriptive, but also less anxious over how much they use the tool, but be stern that if we agree we're going to start with this tool, use the tool, maybe 5 or 6 reps, and then let's give the tool up. We can't not use the tool. Like, there's got to be some balance of coach and student, coach and son, father and son. But I would say I probably wanted you to use the tool too long, and that's probably one of the hindrances that I put on you as a coaching dad.
Yeah.
What else? What do you think? It's junior, senior year. Did you do every drill we ever learned every time you went to the range?
Definitely not. I mean, once I got to that junior, senior year, I was able to kind of like self-prescribe things to myself, and I would hit a couple balls and then tell, oh, I'm swinging from the inside too much, or oh, I'm getting the face shut too much, or like I was able to kind of pick out those things, especially after like a couple videos of myself. So I would definitely sort of take some videos of myself, see what I was doing, and then from there just kind of pick and choose what drills I was doing. I did that was mainly with my full swing, but to that same point, I did start to kind of have the same putting routine every single time I practiced, because I was always struggling with the same thing over putting. And I mean, as y'all know, there's not too much like technical part to putting. It's just kind of,
I think some people would argue with that.
Maybe, but it's way less, there's way less checkpoints in a putting stroke than there are in a full golf swing. And so I was definitely working more on kind of learning speed control and learning how to read greens and learning how to keep the face square every single putt and keep the path the same every single putt. And so that I was doing the same putting routine most of the time, but definitely with my full swing, it was not the same thing over and over. But even though I was doing like the same thing with my putter and every single time I was practicing, a thing I kind of learned, and it was pretty late, it was honestly like towards the end of my senior year is when I learned this, but it's not really healthy to kind of just sit on one drill for like over even 10 minutes, you know? Like, I see a lot of kids now go on the putting green and they'll literally just put like a tee at 3 feet or like make that putter gate I was talking about and literally just like hit putts for like 30, 40 minutes. And I'm just like, that's not doing really anything for you. Like, yeah, you're getting your 3 footers locked in, but it's not, you can't just sit on that one drill forever. You got to do it for 10 minutes and then maybe go do something else. Maybe work on like a stroke drill for 10 minutes and then go over to another hole and do a speed drill. So that way you're kind of incorporating all these different parts of putting, but you're not really like block practicing it. And what I mean by that is just like doing one big chunk here and then another big chunk. You're kind of spreading it out all over, and then that'll kind of help you overall, and that'll help your practice overall, and it'll make it honestly more enjoyable, because I don't know anyone that really likes just sitting over a certain drill for over an hour on the putting green, you know?
Variety is important for sure, especially if you don't enjoy practice. There's some people that love to practice. We know adults and we know kids who love to practice, but they still, I mean, if you practice the 3 footer for 45 minutes as a 8th grader, while that's an important part of golf, you're going to spend so much time on that, you're not going to be a well-rounded golfer, right?
Right.
And you might not miss a 4 footer ever, and that might make you a pretty good golfer, but if you can't chip it to 4 feet, what good's making a 4 footer?
Exactly.
So there are these things where you got to think logically and put common sense into your practice to also make you a well-rounded golfer as well. So you talked about drills with instant feedback, and this isn't just we're going to give you 1,000 drills today, but we want to talk about kind of top 3 or 4 from each kind of segment that Blake brought up. So let's talk about drills with instant feedback. We kind of alluded to the one on the putting green, but let's talk through it pretty systematically. And as you said, we'll try and make some videos so that we can share some of these drills that you learned as a junior golfer and can pass on to others.
All right. The first drill that I think is, like we said, instant feedback. You can immediately kind of figure out what's going wrong with your stroke. If you feel like you just maybe got off nine holes and you couldn't hit a certain any putt straight, but it's definitely just setting up a putter gate. Like I kind of talked at the beginning of this episode, it's literally you kind of put a tee in the ground to like mark up a little spot where you can put the ball in every single time. That's a very important part of this drill.
Doesn't have to be a huge hole, just a
not a
hole.
Huge hole, just something that like the hole can kind of, the ball can just like kind of barely sit in, or something you can just know you can repeat it every single time.
And then just put a tee next to it so you can see it, because you will lose it.
Yeah. And then literally from there, just I did kind of like just over my grip length on my putter. I know everyone now has very different length grips, and there's arm lock grips out there and everything like that. But I guess for reference, like about a foot and a half out from where you're putting at. And then literally just put like the ball on the ground, and then maybe like, depending on your skill level, then you can either do like an inch on each side of the ball and put the tees in, or you can do a centimeter on each side of the ball and put the tees in. Whatever you want, you can make it as challenging as you want. And if you're a really, really good player, I recommend literally just snugging those tees up against the ball and just going from there. But what that drill does for you is you just putt through that gate for about like 10 minutes, and then if you get every putt through, kudos to you, then you're a great putter. You really probably shouldn't be working on that. You should go work on some speed controllers or something else. But what this drill will kind of do for you is you'll pick up on tendencies as well. You'll notice if you're hitting the right tee more than you're hitting the left tee, or if you're kind of, if it's always just hitting them, like if it's, you can kind of just pick up on if you're pulling or pushing it. And one thing that I personally did was if it was a right to left putt, I noticed that I would always lean towards pushing it because I'd want to like push it out onto a higher line. But if it was a left to right putt, I would have a bigger tendency of pulling it because I'd want to pull it out onto a higher line. So just by doing that drill, I already picked up on a tendency that I have, and it was like pushing putts going right to left, pulling putts going left to right. So that was one of the biggest kind of instant feedback. You can pick up on tendencies in your putting stroke and all sorts of things like that.
Yeah, something I don't know that we made clear there was that you are putting to a hole. So while you're putting a gate foot and a half in front of your ball, you are probably putting a 6 to 8 footer in this example with a little bit of break to it. So you're trying to start at the ball in a straight line that's then going to fall one way or the other, which will give you that feedback of are you pushing or pulling the ball. What about something else that we got instant feedback on?
Another one that I loved, and we did this, we did a lot more of this kind of in my later kind of career, but that was just using water bottles, like simply just using a water bottle. You can do so many things with water bottles, but the main thing I used it for was for swing path. And that was either, well, I guess later in my career, the only issue I had with my path was swinging way too in to out, never really struggled with out to in. So what I would always do is I'd get on the range, set up my balls, all that, and I would literally just, wherever my ball was, kind of put a water bottle maybe 6 inches in front of the ball and then like just to the right of the ball. And what this did for me was it just had that little kind of thing that I didn't want to hit. And so
barrier.
A little barrier kind of just right outside the ball that I didn't want to hit. And all it was doing for me was just getting me more over the top, less in doubt, because if I came the least bit in doubt, I was nailing that water bottle across the range. So,
and that water bottle is not a full water bottle. It's not a jug of water. It's just a 16-ounce water bottle with about an inch of water in it.
Just a little bit to keep it like standing upright out of the wind and stuff like that, yeah. And so, like I said, all that did for me was get me more over the top in the like. I just posted a video kind of on my, I posted a video on the One More Bucket podcast Instagram where you can see me using multiple water bottles because we were really struggling with that in to out miss. And They were right up on the ball. That would be, that's a really good visual for anyone trying to like kind of understand what I'm saying. But the water balls are right up next to the ball. And my only goal is to just not hit those because, like we said, all of this is like instant feedback drills. And so the minute I know I hit one of those water balls, it's literally like non-negotiable. I swung two and out kind of thing. And that was also a thing I would struggle with is I would push one, but I'd be like, oh, the face was just open, you know? And I'd argue with my dad all the time, like, no, I didn't push that. Like, I just left the face open sort of thing. And then he'd just be like, okay, he puts the water bottle there. Sure enough, I hit the bottle. And then he's like, you swung two and out. So like we said, that's just instant feedback, something you can't argue against. And that's why a drill like that is great.
Yep. You can also use tees if you want to use tees. Stick them in the ground, see where your path goes. Tee would help you more on the inside. If you want to come over the ball, you might want to brush a tee when you come through the ball on the left side of the path. There's those things that can give you that instant feedback to make sure you're doing what you're trying to accomplish. And I think that'll make you a better golfer really, really quick. Some visuals you can do for instant feedback. If you have the opportunity to use video, it sticks in the ground, sticks at an angle so you can see where you're taking the club back. And again, some of that's on the One More Bucket Instagram page as well. Let's move into the next segment or the next type of drills that you would do, Blake.
All right. The next kind of type that I think you'd kind of do is drills that are sort of trying to get you into a position or like put you into a position in your swing. And a perfect example that I would kind of do, I kind of struggled with, you know, the rotating when I was chipping. And you even see a lot of, I think John Rahm doing this like a week ago on Instagram. And it's literally just putting a towel under your arms so that your arms and your chest are all connected. And when you're chipping, nothing's like getting out of whack or out of position. And so you'd put that towel on your arm, sort of keep you in that position, or even if
you're... And Dad, if you're with your son or daughter or mom, whatever, you can kind of have them hold their arms up kind of chest high. You can wrap around the towel under their underarms, and then they can grip their club. So they're trying to kind of hold it under their armpits while keeping their elbows up against their belly or sides.
Yeah.
That way they kind of, they call it staying connected.
Right. And so, like, yeah, like you said, all that's doing is keeping you in that position. And if you're like a, like I kind of noticed this with some like beginners, they just sort of will get very disconnected. Their chest won't rotate and they'll kind of like let their arms go, or their chest will go too much and their arms won't follow and things like that. And so all that towel under your armpits is doing is sort of just keeping everything connected, staying connected, like you're saying. And it's really good on like chip shots. You can even do it on fuller swings. It is like a lot more kind of uncomfortable feeling, because when you start going all the way back, it kind of feels like that towel will come out a lot easier. So that's why I recommend doing that drill, just kind of for shorter chip shots and things like that. And that'll kind of get your contact more consistent, get the trajectories more consistent, and just everything like that. All it is causing more consistency.
All right. What about, I've seen golfers with head covers under their left arm.
Yeah.
What's that for?
It's sort of to the same point. It's kind of, it's just keeping your arm locked into your chest. It's keeping everything connected to your body. It's all just to try and cause more consistency. And then I think a lot of golfers do it when they're kind of getting over the top more, because if you can feel this at home sort of while you're listening, but if you take a fake club back, and then if you kind of cast your arms off your body, you'll notice that your left kind of elbow or your left bicep sort of comes off your chest. And so if you were to just kind of tuck a little head cover under there and then try and like just keep it in there the whole time you're swinging, you'll kind of notice it keeps you more on that inside plane. It keeps you coming from the inside, or it keeps you, you know, yeah, coming from the inside. And yeah, once again,
I think the head cover is supposed to come out maybe when you get followed through all the way.
Yeah.
But it's intended to keep you connected through the shot.
Yes.
And then the head cover can drop after the shot. But if it drops before you get to the ball, then you got bigger issues and you should call
Blake. You're doing something wrong.
What about next? What next? What I've seen soccer balls, little kickballs, those sorts of things. You mentioned empty bucket of a range bucket. Like, yep. What's that purpose for?
So that's all just to, once again, like all these drills are kind of sort of meant to keep you connected. These ones that we're talking about right now. But yeah, I've seen some people put, there's even like a ball you can buy online, but you really don't need to do that because I bet it's marked up to a stupid expensive price for no reason. But you can get a mini soccer ball, a mini basketball, or even grab a basket of balls, an empty basket of balls on the range. And you just put it kind of in between your forearms. It is kind of awkward to set up because I've tried to do it before. It is kind of awkward to get it into the position. So maybe mom or dad listening, you can kind of put it there for your kid if they need it. And then all that is meant to do is, once again, keep your arms connected. I see some kids or some people kind of flare their elbows a little bit when they go back. And then that's, once again, just causing more of those inconsistencies we're talking about. That'll get the club in all sorts of wild positions in the backswing. And so just putting something in there and you're kind of just keeping that tension in your arms all the way through. And so what that's doing is just keeping the club face kind of in the position that you want it to be going back and also coming through the shot.
Yeah. We use things like, pool noodles between your feet, pool noodles between your knees. We use big rubber bands between your knees to kind of stay connected. There's a lot of things you can do to try. And I think you should be working with a coach that you're not just trying to wing these things. You're using some sort of video coach or getting professional feedback that says, hey, this is what's going to help you stay in the position we need you to stay in. But there's a slew of things you can do. I would say more often than not, a lot of times we would just sit there and work on takeaways. And so we did a 2x4 behind the club. We would sometimes just put a golf ball behind the club.
Head cover.
And you can know that if you come straight back, that 2x4 or that stick or that golf ball is going to go straight back. You can't fake that stuff. And so if your son's arguing with you about which way they're taking the club back, put a ball behind it and they'll see which way they're taking the club back. Those sorts of instant feedback drills are very valuable to both help with the feedback, but then also help you with your positions. And then I think we did a lot of things in slow motion, as you mentioned. Some of the big ones from a slow-mo perspective, we had a coach that taught you to put, and this one you got to be really careful on.
This one's pretty dangerous. So yeah, definitely don't just like hop into it and take full swings with it.
But you put an alignment rod in between your first two belt buckles, your belt loop, sorry. And if you just take the club back and move in really slow motion, if you are out of sequence at all, meaning you're turning your hips faster than you're bringing your hands down, that stick will get in front of your hands and there's no way you could finish.
Yeah.
Again, this is a slow motion drill, but you really got to feel like you're bringing everything down first and clearing your chest and balls in front of the stick, and then the stick can go as fast as it can behind you. Again, this is slow motion. You shouldn't take full swings like this. And it's something that really, really helped, where Blake would do maybe 20 slow motion swings, and then he would take a speed stick that we probably bought at Dick's Sporting Goods or something and swing that speed stick without the other stick as fast as he could because he was in more better position. I think that's where you got a lot of your quote-unquote speed training done by swinging in slow motion with a stick in your belt loops and then swinging a speed stick really as fast as you could to get quicker and having those lines and body positions that you need to have to be able to hit the ball a long way.
Yep.
What else do you remember doing slow motion? I remember you sending me a lot of videos,
many
shirts off the videos in the driveway, showing me your swing paths.
Yep.
I think things started getting exciting when you could see kind of the takeaway and the club down the line, the club at the top pointing right down the line or maybe a little bit off the line behind you, and then the swing and then impact being right where it needs to be and then the follow through being right down the line. And we started really understanding what made the golf ball go straight more consistently by doing those slow motion speed drills, getting those things in alignment. We got many, many drills to talk about, many, many tools we'll share with that I think will help all of the parents and the golfers out there. How do you want to wrap us up today, Blake?
I guess just one more drill I can give everyone, probably the best drill you could ever do. Just hit one more bucket.
There you go. Next week, we're heading off on a special father-son trip.
Yeah, we are.
It will be the U.S. Open, and I just turned 50, and his mother, my wife, got us a trip. So we're going to be live at the U.S. Open in Los Angeles for 2023. Hopefully, you can tune into that show. Hopefully, we get to talk a little bit about who won it, and we're going to have a lot of fun in Los Angeles. Hopefully, we'll share one more bucket with many golfers at the U.S. Open. As always, as Blake would say, listen to us while you're driving to the range to hit one more bucket.
Do it.
You just caught one more bucket with Blake Doss and his dad, Bobby Doss. For more about Blake, including how to get private lessons scheduled now, go to BlakeDoss.com. And we'll catch you next time right here on the One More Bucket podcast.